What up, folks? It's O'Shea Davis with the Working Wonder Podcast Thank you for tuning in to part two with Captain Mike Ward, as this time he continues his conversation about family, passion, leadership, and advice to company officers and those who are interested in joining the fire service. If you enjoyed part one, you're going to love part two. A little bit shorter than the last, but I hope you get something out of it. Thank you for listening.
I can't help but draw the parallels. It's almost ironic because that's being at 17. I feel that way. You know, I really do. And it's a blessing because you learn so much from those who become before you, but only if you really appreciate them. Right. It's really easy to be in the presence of people that do an awesome job and you just kind of mosey on through without realizing, like, wait a minute. Wow. Like, this is pretty a monumental moment in my career. And I'm sure there's a lot of moments that you probably reflected on that. You were like, wow, that really shifted. Did you feel like you had that perspective when things were occurring, or did it hit you a little bit later when you realized after these leaders were retired or after you left?
Varying degrees. There were times, you know, most of the time that I spent there, I mean, I probably didn't say five words a shift for 4 years. You know, I just, I tried to keep a low profile. Unfortunately, I was the perpetual rook there because there was no other rookies that came there while I was there on a platoon. So if there was a mistake to be made, I made it. But when you feel like you're getting better at the job, and those victories were pretty sweet, when you feel like, man, okay, I did a good job on that, you know. But the lows were pretty low because, you know, they're just as the yin was the yang.
Yes.
But I tried to appreciate it, and I know that I did appreciate it. As I get older, I think I appreciate it more. My memories of threes are good times, but really spending those 4 years probably intimidated most of the time by all those guys and just wanting to please them. And it's funny, when I promoted a driver, I tell this story before, but when I promoted a driver, I go to Station 11 and I'm just trying to blend because I'm the new guy. I know these guys a little bit, but not much. And I'm young, 24-ish years old. And these guys are senior guys, all of them. So I'm just trying to read the paper. And there's two companies and the chiefs there. So all these people at the table. And I hear these conversations going on. I'm not really trying to pay attention to them. I'm trying my own business, trying to hide behind the paper.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, this paper gets literally knocked out of my hand from the guy across from me. A guy named Dan Buto. His son's on the job now. And he goes, answer me when I'm talking to you. And I thought, oh my God, that's from what I'm thinking. And then I said, what? And he said, I ask your opinion about something. I said, there's nobody asked me my opinion in 4 years. And that was true. But like I said, Alan taught me how to be tough as I could be. For whatever that is. He taught me how to push. And Captain Dean showed me how to be a good leader. I got to see him at Dan Buto's funeral. I'd seen him in, years. He retired in 95. I got to thank him again. I thanked him when he retired. But it meant more to me to thank him then. He couldn't have been more gracious. I'm proud of you. It meant a lot. Pretty cool.
With that being said, I can't help but thank you now in a lot of ways. And this is, I would say that, and this is nothing to my previous captain, he just was hurt. So I didn't really ever have a captain until you. It means a lot to me that you are who you are and those who came before you have shaped your life, because I'm grateful that I'm having this conversation with you. Because a lot of people, I don't think, get to have those conversations with those that influenced their life early enough. So I really want to thank you. And your family's like family to me. And your mom, your dad, everybody. I love your family. I just truly love them. They're just remarkable people. His dad is the nicest guy. His mom is so sweet. My wife had surgery. No one from her job sent her anything, but your mom and your dad did. And I was like, wow. And my grandfather passed away, also being a Vietnam vet. Your dad went on a whim trying to find out information about him. I was like, very special family.
I've been trying to live up to him my whole life. That's the truth.
It's just amazing. So I have to say that and thank your family, because obviously this episode is about family as well. So thank you very much, Cap. I really appreciate it.
You bet. It's been my pleasure.
Yes, sir.
It ain't over.
No, it ain't over. No, it ain't.
We got a long way to go.
Yes, sir, we do. Yes, we do. Moving forward with that, we've been talking about great leaders. We talk about leaders. What would you say different qualities or characteristics have you yourself obtained or learned that contributes to being a good leader, or you would say possibly a great leader?
Well, I mean, you could say all the things that are a cliche, but I'll just go through what I think does it. And number one is I don't ask anybody to do anything that I wouldn't do myself. That starts with that. And I like to lead from the front. So I like leaders that lead from the front. I like leaders that, especially when we're in a team thing like firefighting, is that you listen and you appreciate each person in your team. It's easy to say, it's not so easy to do. And what I mean by that is, it sounds good, you can read it in a book, but to live it is a little bit different, because you have to listen to everybody's perspective. They all bring a little bit something different to the fire department. And we are problem solvers. Ultimately, what we do, we go out and solve people's problems, from fires to medical emergencies to, you know, a lift assist to shut the gas off to whatever. And, you know, also so much of it is interaction with people. So much of it is just the life experience that they bring to be able to handle those type of situations. A leader needs to keep engaged, needs to stay educated. And education can come in different ways. It can come from conferences and now podcasts and reading books and or just listening in general. I think it's important for you to stay culturally aware with what goes on in society, because we have to go relate to people, and those cultural and societal influences are there. Everybody has their own viewpoint of the world. Everybody that we go respond to, if we got into a deep discussion, am I going to agree with everything with them? Are they going to agree with everything with me? No, but this is no judgment. I'm there to take care of you. I'm there to help you, right? How often do we say that? This is no judgment here. For this, that, or the other thing that these people might be a little shy about telling us or things. Hopefully a leader still has passion for what they do. If you don't have passion in your life for something, I would think that would be a sad existence. So I hope that if you don't have passion for what you do anymore, perhaps you put in your time and then you pursue that, because I think that's going to be key to happiness. But a leader leads from the front. A leader brings everybody together, keeps everybody focused on a common goal. Yeah, our goal, but I tell you, when you came to 17s, is people, our goal is excellence in everything that we do. Are we perfect in everything we do? No, but we're going to darn sure strive for it, because that's the deal. I hold myself the most accountable for that. The leader takes all the criticism, never takes any accolades. The accolades go to the people who work for you, because they're the ones that make you or break you. And any criticism that comes towards them, that's a reflection on you and your leadership. So you need to fix that. It's never, if people say kind things about me, that's a reflection on my family, my influences, and the people I work with today, in the past, present, and in the future. That's the deal. It's never me. Find inspiration. Hopefully a leader has inspiration. I find inspiration in all you guys at the station. I'll listen to what you guys say. Maybe I'll try that out. That sounds pretty interesting, you know. It's trying to stay inspired and realize that we have a big responsibility. Leader's responsible. We're a shepherd of people. I'm not a guy who reads a lot of leadership books. I don't know that I've ever read a leadership book. I like biographies. I like to listen to what they did, what people do. I was just listening to a podcast on a guy that I've read numerous books about. His name's Leo Stapleton. And a lot of people don't know about Leo Stapleton, but they should. So if you ever get a chance to read any books about Leo Stapleton, he was the Boston Fire Chief and Fire Commissioner, and he's got some great insights on how to be a very responsible leader. But he says it very commonplace and very approachable.
And it sounds like a lot of those things you were stating is being selfless, owning your actions and the actions of others, realizing that what you say and do influence them. And every parent is a leader. Every teacher is a leader. Every brother, sister, cousin, you know, person on the job is a leader. Essentially, you're influencing someone else, either directly or indirectly. It was a captain who's retired now, and I remember seeing him do this, and that it meant a lot to me to see this, but he'd wake up early, and he was on C shift, the 25s, and he'll sit at the table early in the morning, and he'd read his Bible. And I was like, wow. You know, and sometimes you see other people do stuff, and you go, I can do that. Like, you start to realize what is possible because you see others do it. And then it sets the example for your life. Continuing on with that, what advice would you give, and you already gave incredible advice, but what advice would you give to a new company officer who recently promoting or going to promote? What are some things that you wish someone would have told you, or things that someone did tell you?
Well, there's a lot, and that's each time that you even just transfer to a different station, we've had these conversations recently, and especially when you go into a different rank, is you may have a good reputation. You may have people say good things about you, say that whatever. They're all going to try you on for size and see what you can do, okay? And you're doing the same thing to them, right? Mm-hmm. Seeing what they're capable of, what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are. So the first thing I would say to a new company officer would be, don't push, let it come. The runs will come. Don't be overly aggressive with everything. I say that people think that, you know, we're real aggressive, and what I mean by that is you don't have to set the world on fire when you first get there. Be humble. Appreciate your people. You need to go train with them. You need to have a good attitude about training. Attitude's a huge thing. And get to know them as people. I think sometimes you see some new captains come in and they want to be one of the guys, and you are to a certain point, but you're really not, because you are responsible for them. And sometimes you have to put on that hat of being, we need to have an uncomfortable conversation. And it's really hard to do if you're their buddy. Okay, we can be friends. I've never had to tell anybody and slam my hand on the disc and say, we're going to do this because I'm in charge. If you've got to say you're in charge, you've never been in charge to begin with. You need to know what your principles are. We have a mission statement on the fire department, so that's an easy thing to follow. It's an easy thing as a guidebook, but you need to know what your principles are. You put the guys first, their safety, that they're well-trained, that they know what they're doing, and they're competent in every part of the job. That's your responsibility. It's your responsibility that they get home to their families. What's one thing that I say? Where's your family? Bring your family to the station. I want to know them. I want to tell them. It is a dangerous job. I'm not trying to scare them. They already know that. I don't have to tell them that. They know that it's a dangerous job. I think a lot of times people think that that's going to be like you can get killed at this job, and you can't. There's no doubt. It's more the injuries. It's the quality of life. It's the injuries that end a career early, change their course of their career, and you've got to look out for them. So I want them to know that we're all looking out for one another. So I don't know if that answers your question there, but that's kind of where I come from.
Yes, absolutely. I think it definitely did. And you're obviously a living example of embracing family. When my wife is able to tell me that she is comfortable and she feels safe because of the crew that I'm around. When you have a wife to say that she knows you're going to be okay because she's been to the station, she's met the guys, and she's like, they got your back. I mean, that's special. You know, how many people work in hostile work environments where their significant other is like, you need to leave. We need to get you out of there. But to say the complete opposite, and that's very special to have that. And I'm so glad you're saying that, because not every station embraces that. And Not to say they don't, so don't get me wrong. I'm not going around saying, oh, keep your family away. But it's different to just encourage that constantly, constantly encourage it and know that we are a family because we look out for one another. So that brings me to very last question here, which is, what advice would you give to those who want to join the fire service? Because like you mentioned, all the beautiful aspects of it, all the knowledge, all the experience that you've gained and what you've learned from those who are obviously in your family and in the fire service, what advice would you give them? If they're saying, oh, you know, I just listened to this podcast, whatever, you know, and they're like, wow, that sounds awesome. I want to be a part of a family like that. What would you tell them?
Well, besides the fact of how to, you know, the steps of going to school for your EMT and yada yada that everybody can give you, search your heart. Search your heart. I've said this to the last two academy classes that we've been so fortunate to go out and the training staff's had us visit with, is you're a servant of the people. What I mean by that is just that, that everybody says when they go through the interview process is, I just want to help people. I really hope you mean that. Let's be honest. I hope that you're not getting this job. You get to work in Tulsa. You get to work 24 hours and then you're off for 48. So every day is a Friday, as we joke on the fire department, right? But you're tired a lot. You know, if you might be up that entire 24 hours. And most of the time we are up most of it. And lots of things are going to be physically, emotionally draining, whether it's at the station and as you get older and, you know, you have life things that happen to you and you're having to balance those things. But if your motivation is really not to help people, if it's for a lot of other reasons, please don't apply, because you're not going to be happy. I don't want to hear any bad attitude when you come there and we got to go to somebody that's got has fallen overnight, you know, and that happens, unfortunately, in our job. Is sometimes if you wanted to get on this job and you really wanted to help people, mean it, because you always have to remember that's that person's 911 call. What if that was your mom? What if that was your grandmother? Would you want somebody to come in there and not have the best attitude and really want to help somebody? You know, I hope that's what you want to do. Don't lie when you get on the fire department, you know, tell the truth. And it can be simple things. You go there on a medical, you take care of the medical, you know, let's check their smoke alarm. That's important. We install smoke alarms in Tulsa for free. We've got a grant program that we do that. That may seem little, may seem trivial, but it's really important. How would you feel if you went to somebody's home, you had that medical emergency, you took care of that, and 2 weeks, a month later, you go there and their house is on fire and they're trapped inside and they didn't make it. And you know, what? I didn't check that smoke detector. Why? Oh man, I was tired. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. Do your job. Do it right. Do it every time. And you need to do it your entire career. Bring the right attitude. That's the advice. The other advice I would give them is stay motivated. Keep a good attitude. Keep studying. Whether you're studying for promotional exams or you're studying on your own, you know, there's podcasts, there's webinars, there's going to conferences, and then staying in shape. I'm not bashing on any of them, but I'm here to tell you, if you train to work out intensely for 15 minutes, that does not translate to the fire ground, a real fire. It is work. So if you're training, you better train for some endurance. Does strength training need to be part of that? Yeah. But if you're training to see how many kettlebell swings I can get into and some wall slams or whatever the hell they call it, it's not going to work on the fire ground and be effective, because I see those guys, one bottle, they done. And I can see old Farmer Joe over here, you know what I mean? And he goes all day, okay? So stay in shape, stay in the right kind of shape. Just, you know, keep a passion for the job. Remember what you do. The best advice I ever got in the academy was day one, remember how happy you are to be here today. Remember how proud you are to be here today. And if you never forget that, you will always love this job. And I do. And, you know, we got a chance to go do some burn houses and stuff for training with the rookies, the class previous to this. And the rookies in the academy wear red shirts, you know, and that's a big deal, right? At graduation, they get to burn their shirts. I trade my shirts with them right now and go back and do it all over again. I do it over and over again, because I'm excited for them. I'm jealous. Honestly, I'm envious. They've got decades ahead of them, and I don't. So I wish them well, and I hope that they really appreciate the job, and I hope that they meet some good people along the way, and I know they will.
Well, thank you so much, Cap, for being on with the podcast with me. So much great information and knowledge. I'm speechless. I mean, this is incredible. And it's been long overdue, I feel like, as well. But it's so much that people can learn and gather from this. And I really hope that when people listen, they truly listen. So that was Mike Ward, 32 years on the job at fire service, third generation, with his son being the fourth generation firefighter at Tulsa Fire Department. Thank you so much. And I love you, Cap.
Thank you. Love you, brother.